Great to see you in the house of the Lord. Our senior pastor, Reverend Jim Bob, he's speaking at Education Building, and I will be here. I'm here to share God's grace with you all. Today, I would like to share God's grace with the title, Remembering His Grace. Ever since we were born, from many people, we have received some degree of benefits, and I want to call this a grace. We have received many grace from our parents as we grow, and then we have received many grace from people around us as well. There are many people who helped our family when we needed something, and we still remember their love and generosity towards us. So even after many, many years, we still remember them, and we pray for them, and we still maintain a healthy relationship with them. So just by remembering, they put a smile on our face and make our hearts warm. I'm sure you all have memories like this to make you feel loved or blessed. However, we tend to forget these memories so easily when we face hardship. It may make us feel like we were never loved by anyone, feel like there's no one around us who can help us, and feel like I'm the only one who's driving on the rough, bumpy road. So if we forget these benefits and forget how God showed His grace through those people, then we will always live a life of dissatisfaction and live an unhappy life. But not only we live an unhappy life, but we cannot resist God's wrath. 2 Chronicles 32:25 says like this, "But Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness shown him. Therefore the Lord's wrath was on him and on Judah and Jerusalem." God blessed the life of King Hezekiah in many, many different ways. God gave him wealth, power, and reputation. But when his name was being lifted up, and when other people started praising him, he became arrogant, and out of his spiritual pride, he idolizes himself and tried to ignore God. A truly wonderful person is the one who does not forget the grace and blessing they have received. But in the real world, many people live without remembering the grace. But we as a Christian must remember the grace that we have received. More importantly, we need to remember God's grace in our lives, because our true Christian life starts when we accept God's grace as grace. And such acceptance will bring us the heart of passion and devotion. And this is the source that brings power to serve God as our response to His grace. We all need God's grace, right? We cannot live a single day without His grace. I'm sure no one in this room say that we can live a single day without God's grace. We all need His grace. But some people think we can somehow live on our own because we do not notice or acknowledge His grace. And it is the consequence of our pride and self-righteousness. So as we go into the Holy Week, we need to admit that God has been gracious to us and allowed us to enjoy many things. God gave us family, place to work, school to study, food to eat, place to stay warm, and so many more. And they have been more special this past year than any other years. Oftentimes, we choose to live an unhappy life by focusing on what we don't have, and by focusing on our problems, and by thinking that we did not receive anything from God, rather than focusing on God and thanking God for what we already have. Those who doesn't realize that they have received so much benefit or grace will live a miserable life. These people don't have any thanksgiving for such grace. And they don't have any heart or don't even feel the need to show appreciation for such grace. And this is why many people don't know how to let the grace flow to other people. And this brings dryness to their hearts and to their lives. But on the other hand, those who realize that they have received so much grace will live a blessed life. Their lives are filled with thanksgiving and joy because these people thank for what God has done in their lives and think that everything that they enjoy is all from God and is all by His grace. So these people somehow try to show appreciation for the grace they have received. And these people let the grace flow to other people and share their hearts and lives with people around them. And this brings aliveness to their hearts and to their lives. Apostle Paul is the one who received grace and realized the preciousness of that grace. He knew that he received an undeserved grace. This is why Paul's life was filled with joy and thanksgiving, which brought loyalty to God. Knowing God's grace is the greatest blessing. The more we realize how sinful we are, the more we will feel God's grace. God's grace doesn't come big to us because we somehow think that we are an okay person. We think that we deserve some kind of grace because I have done this, I have done that for the church and for God. We think that we are not that bad sinner because we are trying to live a good life. This is why we don't have the full grasp of God's amazing grace. There are many people here today giving worship to God and listening to the sermon. Although it is important to receive grace through today's worship service, but what's more important is to be aware of such grace as God's grace, not just a mere emotional feeling. In today's passage, God is showing us how Paul realized God's grace, how he remembered and treated God's grace, and how he lived in God's grace. First, Paul realized his true identity. Verse 9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." You know, people have tendency to forget things so easily. I'm sure you all have some kind of a funny stories. You went to the other room to get something, but forget why you are in that room, right? You promised to do something, but don't even remember you said it or not, right? And we don't even remember what happened last week. But we're like, come on, last week? I don't even remember what happened yesterday, right? And if you're in this stage, maybe you might have to seek consultation. But one time, I was home eating ice cream. And I went back to the kitchen to put the ice cream and spoon back. But I forgot why I went to the kitchen. And I was like, why am I here? So I put the ice cream in the sink, and I put the spoon in the freezer. And then I felt something is wrong. And I went back and put them in the right place. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is happening to me too, right? I'm young, but I look young, but I'm not that young. I'm like almost 40s now, 40. But anyway, I'm like, oh my goodness, is this already happening to me? And maybe I'm the first one to see the doctor. And maybe those who are like nodding with me, maybe you have to come with me. But anyways, we forget things so easily. We forget about what we have done wrong in the past. We forget that we were a hopeless sinner before we accepted Christ. We forget that we were God's enemies before we accepted Christ. But we have to remember that despite our beings, God so loved us so that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to save us and to make us his children. But we forget this amazing grace. And rather than being thankful, spiritual pride kicks in and we praise ourselves, but not God. Once we truly realize God's grace, we will be thrilled by it. We do not deserve any grace, and there are not many good things that we did for God. But rather, we lived a life of disobedience and ignorance of God's presence in our lives. But God did not condemn us, but came to us, met us, and saved us. And as an exceptional treatment, not only he made us his children, but he showed his love to us. And he called us to be his ambassador and gave us the privilege to work for his glory and to work for his kingdom. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this scholarship thing when you enter college or when you send your children to college. There is a merit-based scholarship and there is a need-based scholarship. Merit-based scholarship is based on your achievement that you have made. But the need-based scholarship is based on your financial need. Likewise, God's grace is given not on merit-based but on need-based. We were sinners and we needed a grace. So God freely gave us his grace and decided to save us. This is why God loves us to the end without being influenced by our own deeds. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You know, I didn't become a pastor because I'm worthy to be a pastor. You didn't become a deacon or elder or a priesthood member or even sitting here as a worshiper because you are perfectly worthy. It is all by His grace alone that we can sit here and worship Him and serve the church. Is this amen? Amen. We must admit this because if not, then this whole concept of God's grace will be uncomfortable. And rather than serving the church as our response to His grace, we will end up serving the church out of our own self-righteousness. One day, Francis of Assisi, an Italian Roman Catholic deacon, saw this man with leprosy walking towards him. And in his heart, he felt like he wanted to spread the gospel to him. He wanted to pray for him. But as soon as he passed by him, he felt dirty and he felt, oh, so smelly. And he just wanted to ignore and pass by him. And he did. But this made him feel kind of guilty. So he asked God, "Was that wrong to ignore him?" And God asked him, "Why did you ignore him?" Then he said, "Because I felt dirty." Then God asked him, "Really? You think you are better than him? You were dirtier and smellier sinner than that leper. But I received you as who you are and loved you." After hearing this voice, he ran to the leper and he grabbed him and embraced him, held his hand and prayed for him. This is it. One who realizes God's grace and live in His grace know how hopeless sinner we are. Leaders in the first church were like this, Puritans were like this, and all God's people were like this. You know, one day, recently, this deacon in my small group called me, and she was crying and sharing what happened to her. She said that she had a dream last night, and she saw the dirty and smelly bugs filling up her house. And it was too many, so she wanted to get rid of them. So she used a water hose to sweep away all the bugs. But she could not even clean them all. It didn't work. It was too much. And she was kind of lost. Then all of a sudden, God told her that all these bugs are your sins. And after realizing this, how she has sinned against God, how hopeless and helpless being she is, how sinful and miserable she is before God, she felt sorry for her sins and were amazed by grace that she has received from God. So she couldn't handle this by herself, so that's why she called me to ask for prayer. And although it was over the phone, we earnestly and cheerfully confess our faith together and share the grace of God, and so thankful to hear that she now wants to live more for His glory. God called us when we were still sinners. And it is at this moment when God loved us so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us to prove His love and assure us that He loves us. So to the one who knows their true identity, and to one who feels the needs of God's grace, God will pour down a grace upon that person's life, and grace will lead their lives. Secondly, Paul realized God's grace and love. Those who live in God's grace not only realize their true identity, but realize how much God loves hopeless sinner like us. First part of verse 10 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect." This is like saying, "Oh my goodness, how can God love someone like me? How can God does not abandon hopeless sinner like me and continue to love me?" This is Paul's confession, and he was thrilled by this fact. Who was Paul? He was the one who persecuted the church and stoned Christian to death. But Paul was living in this delight that how God loves someone like me. How God did not destroy and abandon sinner of the sinners. What a love and what a grace is this. Likewise, if we truly and deeply experience God's grace, then we can feel His love. And maybe we can say, I have nothing to boast to God. I have always failed and fall and become weakened. But how God loves me and loves me as His sons and daughters. One time, a survey was done to a group of Christians and asked which praise songs they liked the best and sang the most. And the number one response was Amazing Grace. We know that this song was made by John Newton. And originally, he was the captain of the slave ships who sold and bought the slaves. Back then, it was a legal job, but even though it was legal, it wasn't surely a good job. His father was also the captain of the slave ships. But unfortunately, he lost his mother when he was young. His child environment, his growing environment was not good, and he couldn't adapt well at the school. And his father tried to educate him, but it did not turn out great. But later he entered Navy, but he escaped from the Navy. So he was caught and worked hard like a slave, and later took over his father's job and became a captain of slave ship. Then one day, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior during the time of trial. After he experienced the thrill of salvation, he started serving the church. And he received a call to be a pastor, and he went to the seminary. And after he became a pastor, he always preached on conversion and salvation. So in the end of his ages, he was waiting to meet the Lord. And one member came and asked him a question. What is the most memorable thing you've ever had in life? What is the most unforgettable thing in your life? Then Newton said, What can I remember as an old man? All I remember is two things. First is that I am a great sinner before God. And second is how God loves a sinner like me and saved me. What would you say if someone asked you this same question? Although we forget things so easily, there is one thing that we must not forget. We must not forget that we were the great sinner before God, but God loves a sinner like me, saved me, and made His children. And more we realize this grace, more we will be thrilled by it. And we will be able to serve as our response to His grace. We'll be able to serve with passion. And our lives will be filled with joy and thanksgiving despite the situation. The word thanksgiving and thrill came from the Greek word eucharisteo. This came from the Greek word charis, which means grace. You know, this tells us that there will be a true thanksgiving and true thrill in our faith life when we deeply experience His grace. This is why we cry in tears when we are praising and when we are listening to the Word of God. And I want to ask you this question. Do you have this kind of thrill in you? Do you have tears of joy or tears of thanksgiving in you? Or are you experiencing a spiritual dryness? Dear brothers and sisters, I eagerly desire that we all be thrilled by His grace and His love towards us. And as we realize and remember His amazing grace and endless love for us, I want all of us to be able to confess as what Paul said that, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Thirdly, Paul realized that God is with him. Second part of verse 10 says like this, No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. The world doesn't always run in a way we want them to run, right? Maybe unexpected things happen more than expected things. We all want our lives to always prosper, but oftentimes it seems like it's not. There are always issues and problems. But what we need to have is a faith that God is always with us. Not just only on sunny days, but also on rainy days as well. You know, maybe Apostle Paul lived more difficult life than us. But if you think about it, he faced hardship not because he lived for his own pleasure, but because he lived for God's glory and for his kingdom. In other words, he committed his life to God, but he did not spare his life to do God's work. You know, such life was very difficult for him. He almost faced the death. He was beaten, he was hungered, he was betrayed, and he had to travel long distance. What a life he had when we look at his life. But no matter how hard his life was, nowhere in the Bible we can find that he complained against God and gave up his mission. Never. Why is that? Is it because he doesn't feel the pain when people hit him? Is it because he doesn't feel the hunger when he didn't eat for days? Not really. Paul was same human like us. He felt the pain. He felt the same pain and hunger just like us. Then what was the source of his passion and boldness? One assurance that Paul had in the midst of all hardship was that no matter how hard the situation is, God is always with me. Think about David. When David believed that God is with him and filled with the Holy Spirit, he did not see Goliath, but he saw God. Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 says like this, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Oftentimes, we feel we are weak and we feel like we cannot do anything. We feel like the problem that we face the problem of Goliath, seems too big for us that we will never break through. But we must remember that the life without faith brings discouragement, despair, fear, but faith in God brings boldness and courage. And such faith gives us courage to face Goliath and power to break through any barriers in our lives. When our faith is deeply rooted in Christ, who is always with us, then we will not fall. We will not give up. So we must hold firmly to the faith of Emmanuel and focused on God. David in Psalm 23 also says that, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me." It is an assurance that God is always with us and always guide our lives. It is an assurance that no matter how difficult the situation is, his rod and his staff will comfort me. And as we trust him and follow his guidance, he will make us to lie down in green pastures, and he will lead us to beside still waters, and he will restore our soul. Dear friends, the Lord is our shepherd. And as a good shepherd, he will protect us. He will guide us no matter how difficult our lives are. And he will always be with us. So just as Paul realized that God was always with him, I want all of us to remember that God is always with us, that he will provide the best for us. And this is the promise of Emmanuel that we must remember. I would like to conclude my message. You probably didn't notice, but exactly 1 year has passed since we began this English service. Wow, praise God, right? Praise the Lord. We started last Sunday of March 2020, and today is the last Sunday of March 2021. It was not an easy journey for me to lead this English service as a coordinator. Maybe it was not easy for some people too. Whenever there was a barrier, the more I focused on people's voice, the more I looked at the situation, the more I felt discouraged. But the more I focused on God's voice, the more I felt encouraged. I personally ran hard with an assurance that the Lord who sent me, the Lord who went ahead of us, has called us. So He will surely lead us to the good way. And thankfully, God sent many men and women of God who ran hard together for past 1 year. And now here we are with many people serving this worship, especially the praise team, and many people participating in this in-person and online worship service. I have no other words to say other than saying that it is God's grace. And I want to continue to worship with all of you under His grace. And I want to ask you to continue worshiping, not as an obligation, not as a Sunday Christian, but as a response to His grace, by remembering who we are and remembering His grace. So let's not be stingy in giving our time, heart, prayer, and offering. And let's give active worship with passion and truly fulfill the vision of this service to bring back the lost generation to the Lord. But just as Paul confessed, I want this to be our confession as well. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. But there's more important thing to remember, especially this week. As we know, today is a Palm Sunday, which is a Sunday before Easter that begins the Holy Week. It is the day that we remember and celebrate the day Jesus entered Jerusalem as Savior and King. You know, it is called Palm Sunday because people welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem by waving the palm branches and shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna means save us. But save us here is not referring to the salvation, but it refers to more of their own freedom. Because the Messiah that they've been waiting for is not the Savior, but the new king who can destroy the Roman government and raise the new kingdom of God. But Jesus coming to Jerusalem was an act of mercy and grace, not an act of justice and judgment. But these people were spiritually blind who weren't able to see this. They couldn't remember the words that were prophesied from the Old Testament. Even as the coatless multitudes waved the palm branches and shouted for joy, they missed the true reason for Jesus' presence. They could neither see nor understand the cross. It is a tragic thing to see the Savior but not recognize Him for who He is. And you know what? This led this same crowd who are crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna," on Palm Sunday, to cry out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him," later that week after 5 days. Jesus knew this was going to happen. He knew such excitement were only temporary, and He knew that Hosanna will turn into crucify Him. Jesus entering Jerusalem has a special meaning. Entering Jerusalem means entering the road of suffering, humiliation, and death on the cross. Jesus humbly entered Jerusalem to give His life on a cross, saving mankind from sin and death. This is the greatness of why we celebrate this week. Because of Christ's ultimate sacrifice, we can be set free of death and find peace in Him. So Palm Sunday is an opportunity to remember and to reflect upon the final week of Jesus' life, which is called Holy Week or Passion Week. And Palm Sunday serves as a preparation of one's heart for the agony of His passion and the joy of His resurrection. So brothers and sisters, as we reflect on the true meaning of Palm Sunday, as we enter the Holy Week, let us not be a mere shouter, but be a true worshiper to praise for His love and grace that He has shown us, and remember the true reason why He came to us, and remember that He saved sinners like us, and be thankful for all He has done for us, and all He has provided for us, and all the things that He is doing and He will be doing for us. We have so much thing to be grateful for. But let's not only be grateful for what we have, but let's be grateful for Him, and let's be grateful for Him alone, and choose to focus on worshiping our Lord, thanking Him for the gift of His sacrifice, and celebrating the power of His resurrection and the new life we have found in Him. And as we remember His grace and rely on His grace and seek His grace more and more each and every single day, I pray that He will pour down even greater grace and blessing upon you. Amen. Let's pray. At this time, can we take a moment to pray as we meditate on what we heard? Can we put our right hand on our chest and let's just pray together. I just pray that, Lord, we just want to thank You. Thank You so much for saving a sinner like us. Help us to remember what kind of blessing and grace we have received. And as we enter the Holy Week, help us to be thankful and help us to deeply meditate on Your grace and help us to be thrilled by it. And then on Easter Sunday, help us to rise again with the power of resurrection and help us to praise You for the new life that we have found in Him. So let's just pray together and I'll wrap up with a prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Father God. Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You and thank You and thank You for saving sinners like us. We thank You so much for sending Your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinners like us, to save us, and to give us an eternal life, and to live as Your children. Help us not to forget who we are and help us to remember what kind of love and grace that we have received from You. And help us to be humbled by it and help us to always live a life to live for Your glory so that we not be a mere shouter but be a true worshiper who live for Your glory and for Your kingdom. As we go into this Holy Week, as we meditate on Your grace more deeply, pray that You will pour down Your grace upon each and every one of us and help us to remember the true reason for this season of Easter. And on the Easter Sunday, help us to rise again with the power of resurrection so that we can break through all the hardships and barriers that we have in our lives so that we can always live a life of giving praise of thanksgiving to You. We thank You so much. We love You. We pray all this thankfully in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.